This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. After we become Christians, we still have a lot of work left in life to become more like Christ. We still have hidden sin and incorrect beliefs that God needs to correct as He works in us. God used a large plant to correct Jonah's thinking at the end of his story. Today, Pastor Sam will conclude a sermon titled, Prophet Rescued. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
And so God graciously intervenes. There is a gracious intervention in verses 6 to 8. And what God does is He enrolls this prodigal prophet in His school of learning. And as he goes into the school that God has set up there in the booth, he has two courses to take. The first course is a course in gracious sovereign mercy. The second course is a course in severe sovereign judgment. Now, the entrance requirement into this school is an unusual one. Look, if you will, at verse 6 and see how the word unfolds this. Verse 6, now the Lord God. You see the two names for God there? The word Lord is the word Yahweh, and it's the name that God used when He talked to His own people Israel. In other words, when God talks to Israel and when God talks to Jonah, it's typically under the name Yahweh or Jehovah. Elohim is the name that He typically used when He was talking to Gentiles. And here God is saying to Jonah, Jonah, I want you to know that I am the same God over Israel that I am over Nineveh. But here's an unusual thing. Up to this point in the book, when God's been dealing with Jonah, it's been through the name Yahweh. When God's been dealing with the sailors, or He's been dealing with Nineveh, it's been through the name Elohim. But now, for the rest of this chapter, Jonah is going to be under God, and the name that God is going to consistently use to refer to Himself in these interchanges with Jonah is Elohim. You say, what's the big deal about these names, Pastor? Well, here's the point. Jonah's saying, when I went to school, God enrolled me, but He didn't enroll me in my place as a covenant member of God's covenant nation. He put me in the place of Nineveh. And from the moment I stepped into the school, God is saying to me, Jonah, you're not sitting here as a privileged, appointed covenant servant. You are sitting in the very seat that Nineveh sits in. And so when I came into that school and God put me in Nineveh's chair, He began to teach me two courses. Course number one was a course in sovereign mercy. Notice what God did. Now, the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah so that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. The word discomfort there is the word for evil. Literally, God is doing all of this to save Jonah from the evil that is in him, just like He saved and delivered Nineveh from the evil that was in them. That's why Jonah is in Nineveh's seat in the classroom. And by the way, sometimes God has to put us in that chair, doesn't He? Sometimes the very best way to show us our need for mercy, when we are angry that God has put mercy on the life of another that we would rather He had judged, God puts us in that same chair. And the first thing that God does is He starts a course on sovereign mercy. Here's Jonah in his little booth with his little plant, and he is burning inside, and he's burning outside, and he's about to die. And in one night, this massive plant appears. The way that this is described is that God is responsible for the appearance of that plant. All through the book, God has been appointing things. He appointed a wind in chapter 1 that brought up a great storm. He used the ocean to judge Jonah, he appointed a great fish. Now he appoints a plant, and this plant rises up in one night. And we're told that when this plant rose up, Jonah was exceedingly glad. He got up in the morning and he looked at the plant, and his heart leapt for joy. This is going to be a better day because of this plant. And the point God is making to Jonah is, Jonah, who gave you that plant? I didn't have to give you that plant. I could have left you stewing under that little pitiful booth of yours. And instead, I looked down and I saw my stubborn, rebellious, self-righteous, spiritually arrogant prophet, and I said, I want to show mercy. And Jonah passed that course with flying colors. He got an A+ on the final exam. He was exceedingly glad. And God says, great, you did well. Now, let's go to course number two. Let's talk about severe judgment. Just like God appointed a plant, keep reading. When dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant. Notice the word attack. God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind. If you've ever lived in the Middle East, these winds are fearsome things. Got gusts going from 40 to 60 miles an hour, scorching heat, sometimes 115 to 120 degrees. I mean, these are deadly. And here comes this wind, and it's from the east. And then the sun beat down on Jonah's head. The word beat down is another word for attack. So here is God, and he sends a worm to attack the plant. He sends a wind to attack Jonah, and he sends the sun to attack Jonah's head. Jonah says, let me tell you why I'm using all of that attack language. Centuries after me is going to come a New Testament writer named James. And James has a very important observation about what I'm experiencing. James says, God resists the proud, but he gives what? Grace to the humble. And Jonah said, the reason I'm describing all of this in this way is I want you to know that part of God's sovereign mercy involves his relentless pursuit. And sometimes, in order to grant me mercy, God has to attack the things that are in the way of that mercy. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that maybe the east wind that is burning you up and destroying all that is dear to you, have you ever thought that maybe what is going on around you and the circumstances of your life is a severe mercy so that God can grant you his gracious mercy? This is exactly what's going on. And so how does Jonah fare in this course? Well, he got an A+ on the first course, but here's what we read. He was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when God took away the plant, notice what he says at the end of verse 8, and he asked that he might die, and he said, it is better for me to die than to live. In other words, Jonah says, look, I'm right back where I was. I was exceedingly angry in the first part of chapter 4, then I'm exceedingly glad at the little bit of mercy that God granted me on the hill, and then when God took it away, I am now back to being exceedingly mad. I'm so discouraged, so dismayed, so frustrated that I just can't keep living. And he's right back to where he was. And that's where we see the fourth thing, where God begins now to give an examination to his servant. And he comes back with the same question. He says, Jonah, look, I've let you taste the unexpected joy of my undeserved mercy, and I've also given you a little bit of taste of what it's like to experience the judgment that you were so eager for Nineveh to have. And by the way, isn't that sometimes how we feel? We look at somebody that has done something that has been devastating to us, and in our hearts we're like, God, I just wish you would give them a little taste of this. God, I can't understand why you keep blessing them, why everything they do seems to just roll on. It just never seems to ever stop. And here I am on the hill, and I'm offended at the theology of all of this. I'm offended at the moral injustice of all of this. And you just keep rolling on like it's not even there. And you and I both know that it's there. And then the little bit of mercy that I finally got in this miserable corner of my life, you took away. I don't want to live in this kind of a world when you act this way to them and then you act this way to me. And if we're honest, we've all been there. And so God says to Jonah, do you well to be angry for the plant? And this time, Jonah's anger just spills out of his mouth. He says, I do. I am right to be angry when you took away this little bit of mercy that I finally got on the hill. I came all the way over here in obedience to you. I did what you told me to do. I went into that blasted city and I opened up my mouth and I told him about your judgment and you were supposed to judge him and you didn't. And so, yes, I'm right to be angry. I've been right all along. They're like, Jonah. Jonah's like, yeah, I know. I told you it was spilling out of my mouth, and what's coming out of my mouth is coming out of my heart. And by the way, isn't that true for us? And so God says to Jonah, do you do well to be angry? And Jonah says, actually, I really am right about this. And you and I are sitting on the hill, and we're moving away as fast as we can. We're putting our little lightning rod up. Because, Jonah, can you not see what God's doing? Are you blind? Are you? What's going on? And Jonah's like, he's over here with us going, yeah, I know. Look at me over there. That's terrible. But by the way, that's where you are. And isn't that true? That's where I am. That's where you are. And so Jonah has to learn some things that God is trying to teach him. And so one of the things he's got to learn is this. He has to let God be God. He has to give God his place. Jonah, this is not your plant. It never was your plant to start with. You had nothing to do with it. I am the one who decided to make it grow, and I am the one who decided to take it away. And what I'm trying to teach you is that my mercy and my judgment are mine. You already noted that salvation belongs to me in chapter 2, verse 9. That's why you got an A+ on the mercy lesson. But what you have to realize is that my judgment is also mine. And on that lesson, you got an F. You've got to let me be me. You've got to put me in my place. And when you put me in my place, you've got to take your place. You've got to put me in my place, and you've got to get in your place. And the place you're in is this. You are a servant. I am the creator. I own everything. I own the plant. I own the worm. I own the wind. I own the city. I own Israel. I own Assyria. And I own all of the people that live in all of those places. And I can show mercy to whom I want to show mercy. And I can show judgment to who I want to show judgment. And Jonah, it is not your place to decide who and when I show mercy and who and when I decide to show judgment. That's a really frank and hard lesson, isn't it? But sometimes God has to do that to us. Sometimes God just has to sit us down and he has to say to us, look, you're not me. And I know that what you are looking at makes zero sense to you. Jonah, I understand the theological issues you have. I see the moral issues you have. And I see the personal, spiritual things that you're bringing up. But there are things you can't see that I know. This is all part of a much bigger plan that you aren't privy to. And so you've got to let me be God. And you've got to make sure that you are my servant. And sometimes, folks, that is what God has to do. And so let's look at the last thing in the text. There is redemptive instruction, isn't there? I mean, as severe as the rebuke is, as penetrating as the examination, as ugly as what has been in Jonah's heart, and as frank as the conversation that God has had with Jonah is, there is always a redemptive purpose. And so God is about to redeem his prophet, and he does it in two verses. He starts off with a very clear observation. Jonah, you feel strongly about what happened to the plant. I mean, he says it right out in verse 10. You pity the plant. You feel strongly about what happened to this plant. The word pity there is not like Jonah had a love affair with this plant. It's just like he saw this plant. It was a great source of joy. It disappeared, and it was a great source of disappointment and displeasure. You pity this plant. You are deeply bothered by what happened. And you didn't make this plant. You had nothing to do with it. It came up in a night. It was on the planet for less than 24 hours. You pity the plant. I get it. But let me compare the plant to something God says. Look at the next thing he says. I want you to compare that plant that you had nothing to do with, that was on the planet for less than 24 hours. It was a single plant. And I want you to compare it to that city down there. That city is a great city. It's been around since the days of Noah in Genesis 10. That city is filled with image bearers that were created in my image. And on top of the image bearers, 120,000 of them, there are many, many cattle, many, many, many livestock, much livestock there. And I care about all those things because I created them and I own them. And it grieves me and it gives me great displeasure when I have to judge them. You have great displeasure at the loss of the plant. Can you imagine my displeasure at the loss of a city? Jonah, if you're right to be angry with the plant, then I'm right to be displeased at the loss of a city, which is why I gave them mercy. And that's the unassailable conclusion. God says, I am not pleased when I have to bring wrath. He's going to write it this way in Ezekiel. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Jonah, you can't wait for these people to be destroyed. You can't wait for wrath to fall. You didn't want to talk one bit about my mercy. You came in and your entire message was about my wrath. And then you took off for the hills, and I did all the rest of it. My voice, my spirit, my word, my repentance, my quickening, my awakening. And the reason I did that, Jonah, is because I take no pleasure when I judge Nineveh. And by the way, I'm going to judge it about 100 years from now in the book of Nahum. I take no pleasure in what you take pleasure in. You take pleasure in my wrath when it falls on your enemy. You take pleasure in my mercy when it falls on you. And just like you don't deserve mercy, they don't deserve it either. And just like you got it, they got it. And they got it because mercy is mine. So what are we supposed to do with all of this? You know, we've made our way through this nice little story that Jonah's told us. I say nice because it's beautiful, it's penetrating, it's piercing. What have we learned about God? Well, we've learned that he waits patiently for his people to turn from their wickedness. We've learned that he gives graciously even when Jonah pulls rank and resists him. We've learned that God forgives mercifully. And we've learned that God accepts compassionately. We've learned this about God. If I could sum up the book of Jonah this way, I would say Jonah is the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. For God so loved the what? He so loved the world that he gave his son. Jonah, God so loved Israel. Jonah, God so loved the pagan sailors. God so loved wicked Nineveh. God loved you, prodigal Jonah, and God loves you and God loves me. For God so loved the world. And the reason mercy stands is the rest of John 3:16. He so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son. All of the misery, all of the violence, all of the people whose lives were shattered, all that Nineveh had done, God took upon himself. He bore all of that wickedness. He bore all of that evil. He bore all of that violence, and he took it upon himself. And one day he sent his son to another hill. And on that hill, a prophet greater than Jonah paid with his own life for all of the sins of Nineveh and of Israel and of Jerusalem and of the world and of you and of me. And that's why mercy stands. It stands on the work of God. And that's why salvation belongs to the Lord. Well, I'd like to ask you to bow your head very quietly. Maybe you find yourself stunned at what Jonah has been saying. I want the last thing we think about in our mind, I want us to see Jonah packing up his stuff, putting a stick with a little bag with his meager possessions on his shoulder and beginning the long trek back to Jerusalem. And as he walks down the pathway, we see, Jonah, did you learn the lesson? And Jonah kind of turns back and smiles at us and he says, who do you think wrote the book? And then just before he walks the rest of the journey, he says back to us, now let me ask you a question. Did you learn the lesson? And that's really the question. Have you experienced God's mercy? Or have you convinced yourself that your sin is so great, it's so deep, it has destroyed so much, it has taken away so much from you, it has been repeated so often, you are tired of begging God for forgiveness and making promise after promise after promise, and you're wondering, is there any mercy left? And Jonah would say, come over to my hill. There's a boatload of it. Maybe there's an evil in your own heart that God has been exposing. There's somebody or something that has occurred in your life and you are angry at God over what he has allowed, what he has tolerated, what he seems to have overlooked. And while you still follow him, you're distant from him. You are sitting on your own hill and it's been a long time since you and God have talked. And every time God begins to prompt, you're like, I'm not talking to you today, God, because of what happened. And until you fix that, you and I are going to have a silent relationship. And God says, no, we're not. We're not going to have a silent relationship. I love you too much for that. My grace has been pursuing you relentlessly, and today is the day you're going to find mercy. Are you there today? Has God been pursuing you? Has God been saying to you, let's talk, and you've been holding your hand up or you've been turning your voice away from God? And finally, in a moment of utter frustration, you pour out all of this anger at his feet, and God says, it's okay. I've got mercy for that. I've got grace for that. And maybe today God is granting you that repentance that he granted the Ninevites.
Thanks, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon series from the book of Jonah next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for teaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us for our worship service at 9:30 every Sunday morning, or connect with us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is produced by the audio team at Palmetto Baptist Church, also by Ryan Ahrens and C.J. Billieu. Join us again next time, so together we can grow in grace.